This week on the Rock News Weekly Podcast, week of March 25th, 2024, season 6.
This is Rock News Weekly. Every week, we bring you all the latest headlines in rock, metal, indie, grunge, alt, and classic rock news. This week's new releases, this week in music history trivia, movies, pop culture, and more. Now on to this week's episode.
Ziggy Stardust and is set to release in June. And Forbes magazine has declared the biggest song of all time. We'll let you know what it is and more. Plus, this week in rock and roll history trivia, weekly WTF, and so much more. Everything's up at rocknewsweekly.com. Watch us live every Sunday, twitch.tv/rocknewsweekly, and on demand, youtube.com/rocknewsweekly. It's time for the Rock News Weekly Podcast. What's up, everybody? Chris here as well as David. How's it going?
Hey, it's pretty good.
David's got his own version of March Madness going on, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's like it's March Madness here in the States because it's that time of year with college basketball. But
my son's, he plays basketball and he keeps winning his tournaments and it eats up the whole weekend. We have to go. And
so you're secretly like cheering like, yes, yay, good job, you won. But also it's tearing you apart inside.
Like, oh,
you're losing my free time.
Oh, here's my sorry, I just ripped this off. It's like, oh, yay, Sunday too. Good job, guys.
Nonstop basketball.
Yeah.
That's good, though. How old is he?
He's 13.
Oh, yeah. It's a big deal for him right now, right? All right, well, let's get to the rock stories this week, guys. We got lots to talk about. Some cool stuff, some interesting stories this week, really. So let's get straight into it. Robert Fripp endorsing Adrian Belew's new King Crimson side project featuring Steve Vai, Tony Levin, and a member of Tool, Danny Carey, the drummer. A new David Bowie box set. We'll talk about that. And Forbes magazine has declared the biggest song of all time. Have you seen that article yet?
Really?
What the result is? What's your guess? If you could just pick any song in popular musical history.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Okay, hey, that's as good as a guess as any. We'll see what it is coming up, all right? Stick around, guys. Tour news. Couple tour little tidbits here. Jeff Lynne of ELO coming across the pond for his Over and Out tour, which is kind of cool. Electric Light Orchestra's final tour, Jeff Lynne's ELO. 27 dates. He's kicking it off in Palm Desert, California, August 24th. Goes through all the major cities, West Coast, East Coast. Ends up finishing up in L.A. October 25th. We're going to get a date October 23rd in Sacramento. Jeff Lynne's ELO. So if you guys are a fan of him and ELO and all that, there you go. Boom.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's going to be a pretty cool
nice
tour.
Nice to see they've embraced the like Simon theme. Do you remember Simon the game? The
yeah, right? Theme, right? Yeah. It's like Simon the UFO.
Yeah.
Yep. That's pretty awesome. So make sure you guys check that out. Pretenders U.S. tour, there's a couple dates they're actually going to be opening up for the Foo Fighters, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Pretenders, big tour for them. Also, we get a date, two dates in California here, Sacramento and San Francisco in August. So the date with the Foo Fighters is in New York at Citi Field. I think it's the only date, July 17th, so they're doing that. But other than that, they have a bunch of other great dates. Oh, they do have some more with Foo Fighters that are already sold out, guys. So Cincinnati, they're in Minneapolis. Denver isn't sold out yet for a Foo Fighters show. And then L.A., nice. BMO Stadium, and then Portland. Those ones are sold out with the Foo Fighters. But they did announce a couple more, including the Seattle one. So if you guys are interested, check it out, Pretenders Tour. Very cool. All right, Sting, we were talking about this last week. It's already sold out, so he added a bunch more dates. So just a quick follow-up, guys, for everybody who was thinking about maybe going. They added a bunch more in Detroit. They added another one at Massey Hall in Toronto. Another one, Boston, Fenway. MGM Music Hall, rather, at Fenway. Washington, D.C., Miami, Florida, Chicago, and LA.
Day, yeah.
So all got additional dates. So if you miss that first round, don't miss out again because those are going to sell out. So there you go, Sting 3.0. All right, rock news this week. Big story for me and in the progressive rock world was this kind of little secret project that's been going on that we didn't really know about, but apparently some of these guys have had knowledge all year long. Robert Fripp, the main guy behind King Crimson. He's the sole member and founder of the group, kind of responsible for all of the music and different things, regarding the band. He has lent his blessing to Adrian Belew's new outfit, Beat, which has seen the former King Crimson vocalist and guitarist team up with Crimson and Peter Gabriel bassist Tony Levin, Tool drummer Danny Carey, and guitarist Steve Vai to perform the music from the three albums, Discipline, Beat, and Three of a Perfect Pair. So just a little history. Robert Fripp has said he doesn't want to perform that era of King Crimson, and so he has basically given his blessing to Adrian Belew to go ahead and find people to play that. So he doesn't want to do it personally, but he's go ahead and given the go-ahead for Adrian to do it. It started leaking out, actually. There was one date that showed up at this place called Humphrey's Concerts by the Bay in San Diego, September 17th. There's only one show date, and it's already sold out. And it's got me wondering if they kind of like jumped the gun on the official announcement, or if it was just a test to kind of see the response.
Yeah, it gave the response. Yeah.
But, I mean, people are really excited about this. I know for a fact this era of King Crimson has not been played live since that time in the 80s. And a lot of people have really wanted to see a lot of these gems off of these albums, myself included. So for him to be able to pull this group together to be able to do this is really special, and I feel like it's going to sell out no matter where it goes. It's a pretty cool lineup. Robert Fripp actually posted this on his Facebook page about it. He says, "This is the project that Adrian called me about last autumn, a project which I support and fully encourage, and even discussed with Steve Vai recently at McCabe's in Santa Monica on the 3rd of March of this year. Even I suggested the name." So he suggested the name Beat for the group. So Robert Fripp is definitely involved in it. Here's another picture of all four members here that are going to be in this group: Adrian Belew, Tony Levin, Steve Vai, Danny Carey. In another post, Robert Fripp, he said, "Steve Vai asked me what I thought when Adrian told me Steve would be the guitarist. My reply, Steve Vai is the only guitarist who could play my parts." So that's quite a compliment and a cool thing there. Although a surprise Steve Vai did talk about this on the secret project he was working on at the time on this podcast on Ultimate Guitar, on their record podcast. He said, "I've got something I'm doing in the fall I can't really announce yet, but it'll be a great show." Also about the band, he said, "Personally, it's going to take me all summer to get the music under my fingers because the guitar player that played in this band was a complete beast, an absolute animal, and very difficult parts." End quote. That's Steve Vai talking about training for this show. So it's going to take him a while, and Steve Vai is quite an accomplished guitar player. Yeah. So pretty cool. The whole thing about it, I'm really excited to see these guys do this music, and I can't wait for the tour announcement. Hopefully it will be a tour and not just this kind of one-off show. I'm hoping it's going to be a full-on tour. So fingers crossed, and we'll let you guys know as soon as I hear some more things.
Yeah, that's something definitely to look forward to. Like, that level of musicianship.
Yeah, that's
not often seen.
No, it's pretty rare, pretty cool, and a great little super group, one-off, once-in-a-lifetime type of a show. So if you're a fan of any of those musicians or that music, definitely don't miss it. Black Keys getting a big award this past week. It's the Sound Exchange Hall of Fame Award, and it's recognizing them as one of the most streamed acts in the organization's 20-year history, which is pretty impressive. Patrick Carney, Dan Auerbach pictured here. They were presented during the South by Southwest conference that goes on this time in Austin, Texas, and the duo delivered a keynote speech on it, and they premiered the Jeff Dupree-directed documentary This Is a Film About the Black Keys, I guess. So they have a new documentary out. I didn't know that, which is pretty cool. And performed a pair of headlining sets. The band will release its 12th studio album, Ohio Players, April 5th on Nonesuch and Warner. But pretty cool. I mean, well-deserved for them.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the most streamed bands. And cool that they got that documentary coming out. I guess it's out now, but or just got streamed for the first time at South by Southwest. So maybe it's coming out later this year. Pretty cool. Either way, yeah. And congrats to them. All right. Journeys, Don't Stop Believin'. Officially the biggest song of all time. Yeah.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay. All right.
There are a handful of songs in American pop culture so pervasive and successful, it's likely that there isn't anyone left in the country who hasn't heard them. One of the best examples of this is the inescapable Don't Stop Believin' from Journey, which just earned a very special honor. According to the RIAA, the Recording Industry Association of America, Don't Stop Believin' is now an 18 times platinum certified single. That means between pure sales and other forms of consumption, namely streaming, the song has shifted at least 18 million equivalent units in the United States alone. So that's not even worldwide.
Yeah, I mean, thinking about it, that is a song that really never died.
Yeah.
From the time it came out until now, it's just continued to just
It's had its moments in pop culture, like at the ending of Sopranos when it was, you know, kind of went to black and they were sitting there in the restaurant and that song was playing on the jukebox. It's one of those songs that's like been in popular culture forever. And
I remember, you know, back in those old days, like just listening to it as a little kid, thinking it was just so good, you
anthemic
know?
You know,
yeah, it's just
right,
yeah, it just so, drives you,
yeah, right. Yeah, so this is interesting. So it says it's not alone in this position though. Journey's most beloved single actually ties with the only track in U.S. history that has already reached that milestone, Post Malone and Swae Lee's Sunflower. Officially titled Sunflower, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse was certified 18 times platinum last May.
What?
Yeah. So it's actually tied for that for number one. The announcement that Don't Stop Believin' had reached such an impressive milestone came something of a surprise. Before this latest honor, the song had only ever been certified up to quadruple platinum status. It hit that mark in May of 2013. And so, about a decade, it went like even more popular. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that kind of makes me wonder, though. Because, I mean, yeah, I guess Sunflower, it's a nice song.
You're going to be surprised at some of the other top ones, too, because it says, like, the top two and the top three.
So this has to do with number of, like, how do they calculate this?
It says 18 times platinum certified single. That means between pure sales and other forms of consumption, namely streaming.
Streaming, okay.
The song has shifted the equivalent of 18 million units. So 18 million.
Okay.
So 1 million is platinum. So it's 18 times platinum. So it sold the equivalent of 18 million units of this one song, right?
Because, I mean, with Don't Stop Believing, that really, like, hearing, like, the greatest song, like, yeah, I could see that. But with it
Post
tied
Malone.
With Post Malone, I mean, yeah, it's fine. But I'm like,
yeah, no, I know.
Nothing super special.
And the thing is Post Malone has had the luxury of being like released in the digital era.
Yeah.
This song was released in the 70s and the 80s or whatever it was.
So
I think 1980.
Just imagine.
Right. It's had all that time to catch up. So I mean, if it was released in the time of digital era, yeah, could you imagine? It'd be a lot bigger of a song, but interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, here's the other ones. The runner up on the most consumed and most certified song in U.S. history is Lil Nas X, Old Town Road.
Okay. So, really, this is just like a change in format sort of a thing, I swear.
It's what kids are consuming.
What kids are consuming, like how much they click.
Are buying singles. Like, and who's buying singles, right? That single has been certified 17 times platinum, and it says it's going to improve over time. Three hits are tied at 16, including Drake's God's Plan, Ed Sheeran's Thinking Out Loud, and Imagine Dragons' Radioactive. Those are all in the top.
I can't think of what Thinking Out Loud sounds like, but
Who knows, right? It's probably that one where he's sitting there playing the guitar, acoustic guitar, and he's just like...
He's like, being a ginger is difficult.
All right, anyway. David Bowie box set. Out June 14th. This is kind of cool. It's a 5-CD, 1-Blu-ray audio set that explores David's journey from February 1971 through the creation of Ziggy Stardust Character and Beyond. It's coming out June 14th. It includes radio sessions, TV performances, live tracks, 29 unreleased tracks, covers, early songwriting demos, as well as a vinyl album. Here's a picture of the box set. Kind of cool.
Yeah, how do you get that one?
Well, it's coming. Yeah, it's just coming out generally. Nothing special. It's not a record store day release. So okay. June 14th. I think you got to go through David Bowie's website. Possibly you could get some pre-order information on that. But look at all these cool like demos, unreleased, the Arnold Korns version. He must be an engineer. I'm not sure. Haddon Hall session recorded on the broadcast. John Peel sessions. Pretty awesome. So yeah. For Bowie fans, that looks like a really good one. So check that one out. June 14th. All right, look at this artwork here on this Mark Knopfler song he's doing for charity. So it's got like all of his guitar heroes here. It says Mark Knopfler's Guitar Heroes Going Home theme from Local Hero. And it's basically got everybody on this track. Look at this. Look at all the people on here.
Really?
Yes. And these are
so
all...
So this is like...
We Are the World, but yeah, guitar players.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they got everybody on here. I could see in the picture alone, they got Slash, Joan Jett, Pete Townsend, David Gilmour, Buddy Guy,
so it's like
Eric
Clapton. Well, it makes me wonder, though, like... Aren't there supposed to be secret messages in Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band?
Yeah.
Cover? I wonder if there's some secret messages on here. It looks a lot like it, you know?
It's pretty fun. I like how it's just very, like, cut-and-paste Photoshop, yeah. Like his teenage kid made it for him or something.
that's on brand.
Yeah,
that's appropriate.
So here's the background behind it. It's raising money for this thing called the UK's Teenage Cancer Trust and Teen Cancer America, both co-founded by The Who's Roger Daltrey, and the latter with bandmate Pete Townsend. So the nearly 10-minute rendition, it's a 10-minute-long song. It's pretty crazy. It includes contributions from all those people that I mentioned and many more. So it's pretty neat. It's been in the works for more than a year. And so, yeah.
What if it just turns out to be like a dud of a song?
Yeah, like totally horrible.
It's really, really bad.
All the guitars out of tune. Like everybody's tuned differently and they're all trying to play on top of each other. Total disaster, right? Nah, I imagine it's good. I haven't heard it. I should have listened to it because I think it's out now. But anyway, check that one out and download it for a good cause. Lemmy's ashes to be enshrined at the bar that he used to go to all the time, Rainbow Bar and Grill on Sunset Strip. So this is a pretty neat little event. On April 19th, it says, please join us as we enshrine Lemmy's ashes at the Rainbow Bar and Grill. We also invite you to raise a very unique toast to Lemmy and Motorhead with the unveiling of brand new Motorhead whiskey. So they got their own whiskey, and they're going to enshrine his ashes. I wonder what they're going to do. Maybe like... have a statue that they're going to have the ashes in, or...
maybe a whiskey bottle.
Yep. Or they're going to do what Keith Richards did when his dad died with his ashes.
What was that?
He snorted them with like a line of cocaine.
Really?
Yeah. He put his dad's ashes like a little line of cocaine and...
I wonder if his dad, how his dad would have felt about that.
Yeah, who knows?
I wonder.
Probably not too happy about that. But that's
maybe
Keith
Richards. maybe that's why he looks like a scarecrow.
Yeah, and that's how he actually keeps his youth. He just does a line of somebody's ashes, just a random dead person's ashes every day. Keeps him fit. It feeds Paimon,
keeps
the demon
like
inside
the,
of him. The demon
the,
that's
like
requesting it.
Yeah, it turns his eyes black. You know, to the whites of his eyes.
Feeds
black.
His soul. Yeah. All right, well, we got some birthdays. Actually, I want to do an ad. I keep forgetting that we have all these cool ads, guys.
Man, no,
I mean, we got this whole database of amazing ads, and there's some viewers out there that probably haven't seen any of them yet that are joining us, so might as well play something cool. I figured we could do, you know, it's summertime, maybe like the summer camp at Corn Camp, Quadratic Chaos summer camp. Get kids in the mood for that. It's fun, you know. It's interesting.
We really need to ensure that the next generation is
that's
prepared
right.
with proper knowledge of quadratics.
That's right, and they can make it fun and cool. So here it is. Check it out. Enjoy.
And now a message from one of our sponsors.
man, I just can't get this right. Dang it.
Hey, kids. Burr P here. Well, you all planning on packing your bags for card captain here?
No, not really.
You have the difficulty of figuring out the complex timing of your favorite corn classics? 5/8, 4/4, 7/8.
It can be pretty tricky to learn sometimes, right?
What if I told you you can learn these complex corn timings all with the elegant simplicity of quadratic equations?
I guess that sounds cool.
It's simply a matter of mathematics. I'm Corn Camp's new math teacher. Here to teach you some rockin' quadratic formulas, dissect the timing of your favorite card and song.
Cool!
I've had quite a history with math and rhythm. Oh, my Sunday school days. The bristles of my mustache were but a downy fluff. Mother demanded a perfect cadence, discipline, and the truth of eternal forms. Oh, mother, what fondness of rhythm and timing she fostered in those my tender years. That is until, no, I can't.
Pardon us, Barry. Come back, please. You have a contractual obligation.
Well, back in my beatnik days, I was entranced by the pulsing cadence of coffee house bongo drum, the rhythmic snapping fingers, and the cool verse, spooning the decadence of American vice. But, tired of that scene. Calculating those rhythms was so pedestrian. I needed chaos. I needed anarchy. So I skipped Pond for London and began to thrash.
Quite a story. Quite a journey.
Punk rhythm clashed through my head. Rhythm gave me meaning. Solace. But living in a punk house didn't give me scabies, so I came home and I went to school. I went to Texas A&M. Math is it's just everywhere, kids. Even in your favorite corn classics, like
Dead Bodies Everywhere. Y'all Want a Single.
Y'all Want a Single, say fuck that.
Love and Meth.
Bring me away.
Well, it's Quadratic Chaos.
Sign up for Corn Camp's Quadratic Chaos with Barry Anderson now. Go to corncamp.com.
Wow, yeah. I heard that it's filling up. It's going to sell out this year. It's really popular. It's getting better every year.
Yeah, I think Barry, I heard recently Barry was arrested.
Oh, yeah, really? Yeah. What was he arrested for?
Well, there was a no-knock raid on his apartment.
No-knock raid, yeah. Wow.
Early morning, no-knock raid. I don't know what happened.
Who knows?
He came out in his bloomers and...
he was all discombobulated.
News. I saw him in the news, yeah.
All right, well, we got some birthdays to get to. How about we do some birthdays?
Adam, true rocker, Levine.
Yes, look at this rock star.
He has a butterfly on his neck. There.
Yeah,
that's
so
pretty,
yeah,
but it's like stuck in a spider's web.
Oh, that's right.
How bittersweet!
Wow, what a metaphor.
Is that for like when his wife dumped him for like cheating on her? Right.
Yeah, I felt like a butterfly stuck in
a
cobweb.
Stuck in the cobwebs of my love. I feel like a butterfly stuck in a cobweb. Sorry, not a Maroon 5 fan.
No,
sorry.
No.
Age 45. Hey, yep. He's only 5 years older. No, 4 years older than I am.
That's interesting.
Dang it.
Yep.
Could have had all that. Jerry Cantrell, singer, guitarist of Alice in Chains, is 58
on
March 18th.
I always wonder about these photos. Like, is this something like a hotel they stayed at? Like, all right, Jerry, just go and get your guitar out of the room, and I found this cool little fire escape.
Yeah.
We could take a picture for the album right
gothic
here.
Gothic and shabby and chic, you know?
Or they're, like, backstage, maybe waiting to... This is, like, the thing to go backstage or something like that.
Or, yeah, because, I mean, they're publicists. I wonder if... Or the people who, like, do their PR and stuff. I wonder if this is, like, a thing. They're, like, on Pinterest, like looking for like.
This is actually
cool
just a bathroom in some restaurant. Actually, yeah, they're
I
like
found this shitter in this place. It's
the lady
so
comes up to
you.
The manager. They're like, "Excuse me, I have Jerry Cantrell in the car. We just want to do a photo of him by your bathroom. He's gonna come in here with his guitar. And if you could not bother him for just a minute, we're gonna take a photo by the bathroom."
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know who Jerry Cantrell is.
Oh,
but sure.
Okay, sure. Yes. You got
like,
it.
But do you happen to have like a painting of like some wings on a wall somewhere we can stand next to?
Do you actually have a butterfly caught in a cobweb?
Yeah,
that
yeah,
we
yeah,
could
yeah.
that we
yeah.
could put on the back because it's kind of the theme for the album.
Alrighty, Roger Hodgson.
Oop, shit.
Former lead singer of Supertramp is 74 years old. Damon Albarn of Blur is 56. MC Maxim, Prodigy, is 57 years old. Slim Jim Phantom of the Stray Cats is 63 years old, looking, you know, cooler than ever.
Very slim.
Yeah, yeah, really.
We're going to be going to the Viva Las Vegas in a couple weeks with a bunch of rockabilly acts. And
oh, yeah?
They're going to have Lee Rocker from the Stray Cats. That's the guitarist, but Lee Rocker is the bass player. And he's going to be one of the artists out there at Viva Las Vegas. So
that's fun. I mean, shoot, talking of the rockabilly.
Yep.
Is the Widow's Peak a thing for the rockabilly? Because it looks like he shaved
is.
His yes. Widow's Peak.
It looks like it is, yes. I wonder if he got the Hair Club for Men transplant in the front there to accentuate that, because it does look
it
very
really
exaggerated.
Looks like he's like, this is my Widow's Peak.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
That is kind of a thing because it's connected to the pompadour.
The pompadour kind of having that Widow's Peak there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Shoot. Got that aesthetic going.
There you go. All right. Well, we got some trivia. How about some trivia? Let's do it.
This week in rock and roll history
trivia.
All right, this week, March 22nd, though, 2006, so a little while back, about 18 years ago, this band cancels the remainder of their 2006 tour so their lead singer can have throat surgery to treat strained vocal cords. Who was it? Was it Aerosmith, Slipknot, Judas Priest, or was it Mongolian throat singing Crosby and his Tahitian tribal trio of cocaine conquistadors?
That's like the best one so far. The Mongolian throat singing Crosby. Oh my god! Hey,
really strain your vocal
a lot
cords.
Of cocaine all in his throat,
yes.
Right?
The nasal drip,
or it's like snorted with a little bit of the ashes of his father.
Yeah, right? Yes.
Who is that? You know, I feel like it's probably like Steven Tyler because of all the falsetto, maybe. But
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean,
those people do a little bit of like grunting.
These are all definitely like vocalists that would strain their vocal cords.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I tried to pick some ones that are accurate.
But I feel like Steven Tyler did have something like this. I feel like I heard something about this.
Are you going with that?
But I don't know. Who knows? I sure don't.
Are you going with Aerosmith?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Aerosmith.
You are correct.
Yes.
He would later have throat surgery again in 2023. We talked about it last year.
That's how I knew it.
Yeah.
I listened to a podcast where Ted Nugent was talking about something with Steven Tyler. Yeah,
yep, that's cool. It. So this is his second time that he's had throat surgery. But good news, Aerosmith fans, they just announced the relaunch of their canceled tour. So we're going to have some more info on that.
There you go.
I got news from the promoter that they are doing it. And it's funny, I think they're actually keeping the original dates because it looks like it was supposed to be December 1st and 4th of last year for us, for our dates, and it looks like those are the same dates that they're pushing for this year. So they're going to try and do the same dates. Interesting.
Right.
We'll see how it goes, though, and I'll let you know the official announcement when it comes out. New rock and metal albums out this week. All right, David, take it away. We got some good ones.
All right. Apparition, Disgraced Emanations from a Tranquil State.
Don't you love how, like, the logos of these metal bands,
okay.
The black...
Okay, like I was just going to comment on that. This is like a new font.
Yes.
Like, isn't it? It's, like, so consistent.
Well, and then, like, look at the apparition and see the
like,
only
see if you can actually find
the only
it
ones
there.
That I could see is the double P right there.
I can kind of see an A, but it looks more like a 4.
It's not really an A,
like
it's
that.
Yeah, it's got different shit on it.
But yeah, that I mean,
isn't
really,
that great?
So I mean, I wonder when Windows or no, not Windows or
Wingdings.
Like, yeah, when will it have that font? When you just want to type it out and then. And all the kids will start
it's
writing
like a
their
peace,
essays.
It's a, like a peace sign and a like a pencil.
Wingdings, and they add in heavy metal. What is the proper like term for that? Probably
I don't
like,
know.
Tangled cobwebby explosion.
Yeah,
letters?
Bloody cobweb font.
Yeah, yeah, because it's like the combination of like the strings from the cobwebs and then the
yeah.
blood sort of gets on it.
Yeah,
and, like, runs off.
Butterfly cobweb.
Yeah,
it's actually created by Adam Levine and Maroon 5.
Adam Levine and Maroon 5.
He's the one who made it.
In a his muse brought that to him. Avrilize. Freaks.
Yeah. Kind of a
I've never heard that's a cool there. Looking, I guess, album there though. Boris, Coltar of the Deepers, Hello There, Split. Okay. And then yeah, they have the font is
yeah,
there.
There's
again.
Boris, I can see that. And then yeah, there's their logo.
But also that's another thing is they all sort of look like a Rorschach test too.
yeah.
Right? Cuz they're all kind of like
yeah,
symmetrical
like a
in
symmetrical
a way,
thing,
you know?
Yeah.
So there might be like the
That's it. That's yeah, look at this one too.
The Rorschach. That's the name of the
All you can read is just off of this. You can't read that.
Tangled Thorns, Sivirus, Maze Envy.
Yep.
Hey, and there's like the Satan in the middle or the Minotaur
that's,
or something like that.
It's actually Jack Nicholson from The Shining.
Get rid of the bot. Oh, yeah. Anyway.
There's an alarm. There's waiting for it.
Okay, this is the album of the week.
The Jungle Revolution.
This is the album cover of the week.
Okay. This one is this is so good. This is so good.
Yeah.
Okay. So
a lot going on
so
here.
So do you know anything about this band?
I don't.
Okay. So I mean I hope they're not like don't live close to us.
No.
Because I feel like maybe they have the Jumanji thing. Like they've got that key. Well, how did
I'm
it work
thinking,
in the game?
I'm
right.
Thinking
and then all
they're...
the animals escape and they escape and then they like run rampant
right.
all over the neighborhood.
He must have rolled a 12 or whatever, and now the jungle's coming after
yeah,
him.
Yeah, hopefully these guys aren't in Modesto.
No, I think these are like European guys.
Okay. That does make some
like
sense.
I want to say Swedish or something.
Yeah, because I'm getting like a Siegfried and Roy sort of vibe.
Yeah, especially from their drummer.
The way he's
I don't
very,
know, he just looks very
European.
He looks
gallant. Looks really gallant.
And yeah, let's appreciate that they've literally included, seems like, every animal
yeah,
from the
Yeah, all the
zoo.
Animals in the animal kingdom except for the mushrooms.
No
or
mushroom.
Or that fungi, I guess.
yeah.
But
good stuff, huh?
Yeah, I love it. That's and it's Master P.
It
like,
is
as well.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm down with that. Okay. Fall of Serenity, and I can actually read that one on the album cover.
Yep.
Open Wide, Oh Hell.
Yeah.
The Octopus. That's good. The Gaslight Anthem. History Books. Short Stories.
What a boring album cover compared to the
on.
Other ones.
Whereas, she doesn't fit the proper.
They should have the Cthulhu octopus coming out of the water behind her.
Yeah,
you know,
or like Nessie.
Right.
I get a lot of messages about Nessie lately.
Oh
apparently
yeah.
There's been some new
Nessie
new
developments. Oh,
yeah.
we gotta follow up on.
Yeah,
this.
I know. That's it. Yeah. Ghost Kid, Hollywood Scene.
Hollywood Suicide.
Hollywood Suicide. Can't read. That one's,
whatever.
That
it's
one's
kind of
a kind of like a, what is that? Like, what would you call that aesthetic? It's like the sort of like pseudo Japanese, kill girl kind of.
Yeah, something like that.
There's a thing about that. There's
yeah.
a lot of.
It's
yeah.
something along those lines. Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Hamfero, men guas hundertster.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Hammer King. Konig und Kaiser.
Konig und Kaiser.
Konig und Kaiser.
Hammer King.
Hey, that's pretty. I like that.
Yeah, he's look at his hammer, man.
Kagan Church, Nel Nome del Codice. I guess this is Italian. Yeah?
Yeah, I guess.
Nel Nome del Codice.
Italian metal.
Yes. Leaves Eyes, Myths of Fate. Is that the band members?
I guess. Ooh. I don't know. Yeah, they're going to put a spell on you.
Yeah, and they have the spider web.
That's actually the cover for Hocus Pocus, the new Hocus Pocus.
The new Hocus Pocus. Bette Midler's looking good.
Yeah, there's Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, wild, huh?
All right, Mastiff.
Oh, dang it. Here we go.
Depressipice.
Depressipice. This one gets my vote for coolest vinyl.
I like that whole thing. There's a guy falling off of Depressipice.
Yeah.
right. That's cool.
Yeah, good stuff.
Anybody have a band named after a dog is usually pretty good. Moon Incarnate, Hymns to the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Snuff, Off the Charabank.
That's a interesting vinyl. Looks like somebody spilled a bunch of paint or something.
Yeah. Sylvain, Egg Erframand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And Thor, Ride of the Iron Horse.
Very
Master P combined with like Conan the Barbarian.
Look at his illustration
on the front cover of a 1970s edition of the book.
Look at his lasso's electrified.
I know, dude.
Wow.
I like it when people lean into stuff like that, right? That's really good. Electric lasso. Thornbridge, Daydream Illusion.
This is a little creepy guy.
That's the unknown,
children.
The unknown.
The unknown, yes. What's this? It's the unknown.
No. Is that what the kid said? No.
Yeah. What's this? It's the unknown.
What's this? It's the unknown. No. All right. Velcro's Strange News from the Vault.
That's a cool vinyl.
That's a good one. Yeah,
I like that. I like the album, too. The album artwork's kind of neat.
Anytime it looks like someone in the band made it, I'm there mm-hmm. for it. I like that.
And it reminds me of those old, like, catalogs.
Yeah.
Like those old catalogs from the 50s or 60s or
something. Yeah, my teacher had a whole bunch of them when I was in, like, fourth grade.
Yeah.
And she would let us look at them, like, just for collaging sometimes.
Yep.
And I remember sometimes there would be ones that were more, like, from the 70s, and there was just pictures of just stark naked ladies in it.
Uh-oh. She's like, how'd my Playboys get in here? Sorry, class.
I never told my mom.
Yeah.
Zombie Direct Inject.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's a nice album cover.
It's got like a universe kind of thing, and I like the vinyl too.
Yeah, symbolic. Get some symbolism in there that's kind of direct yet indirect.
Right.
And injected.
Okay, here's just a quick little blurb that I thought this was interesting about movies as we do this movie TV entertainment news. It says, a new poll found that 34% of U.S. adults prefer to see movies in theaters, while a whopping 66% would rather wait for streaming.
What?
They say content demand is increasing, nearly half consumers streaming movies weekly. What camp are you in? And does it depend on the movie? Why or why not?
I'll say.
Not movie, just movies, not TV.
I can barely make it through a movie, right, if I didn't pay for it.
Right.
So, I mean, for me, it's definitely theaters. Like,
that's a good point.
I mean, really, like, the only reason I turn on a movie is to feel like I'm doing something with my family, and then I fall asleep in, like, 5 minutes.
Right.
But if I'm in the theater, I actually enjoy it. It's an experience.
Right.
Like,
that's a good point.
And those are prefer? I mean, what does prefer mean? Like,
it says rather wait for streaming.
Rather wait for that is it. What is the matter with people?
Like, would you rather see it in theaters or would you just wait for it?
Yeah,
and then
like,
people are like,
I'll
just
choose,
wait.
Is that so you can just like sit naked and watch the movie?
I guess,
or
yeah,
what?
Eat a bunch of. I don't know. We love going to the theater.
Watching the movies in the bathtub. Like, why would you?
I prefer just to do that.
Yeah, I don't really understand that.
I don't know. I think it's just people are getting just lazy, man.
Turning inward, I guess. Like,
and being
to the theater is nice.
Yeah, but it's also like people would rather now like order food instead of going to the restaurant.
Yeah,
even
I don't understand that.
You know, and even if it's the same price or more, And people don't even want to, like, go out and interact with people now.
Some post-COVID stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big part of it. My family, we used to go out every Friday.
Right.
Like, everyone, we go out, we get, like, pizza on Main Street or whatever. And now it's just everyone's like, well, what do you want to get? What do you want to order?
Let's just stay in and, yeah.
And even I'll say, let's go out and do it. And they're like, no.
No.
They don't want to do it. And they're all sort of fractured and whatever. So.
Well, interesting. The latest trend here in TV, also kind of interesting here. Mr. Beast. Have you heard of Mr. Beast?
I think probably by now. If I've heard of Mr. Beast, probably by now everyone has.
Yeah, he's one of those characters and kind of icons in the YouTube world. Mr. Beast has linked a deal now with Prime Video for his new reality competition show called Beast Games. And if you notice, did you ever see the one on Netflix? Squid Games?
Squid Games, yeah. He got the is he going to kill people?
Well, no. I would hope not.
Literally shoot the big baby thing.
But I wonder if they're going to, because this person, I don't know if this is just some random thing that they've kind of like put together, but it looks like they have numbers and they are kind of like in a uniform, very similar to kind of like a Squid Games type of setting. I'm not sure what it's going to entail, but the chance is at a $5 million prize, and they're saying it's the largest cash prize in TV history. Specific challenges of the show have yet to be revealed. They're saying it's going to be fast-paced, high production. Premiere date for the Beast Games is also yet to be announced, but it will be available exclusively on Amazon Prime Video globally. He says, my goal is to make the greatest show possible and prove YouTubers and creators can succeed on other platforms. Amazon gave me the creative control I need to try and make it happen. I hope to make the YouTube community proud. Some people were saying, why didn't he just do this on YouTube? And he's saying that he's trying to prove that he can go to other formats to try and do it. So what do you think of the whole thing?
I mean, for me, it's like, I don't get it.
Yep.
I really don't get it. I mean, to me, I look at this guy and I'm like, wow, he just looks like a boring me 5 years ago before I got fat. I don't understand, like, why people are so into it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's that's a little, I guess I'm disconnected from. But he's so popular.
Yeah. He's the beginning, well, I would say one of the pioneers of the like, YouTube kind of content creator, where he would do.
He, like goes and says, I'll give you money. Or he gives someone money for
basically
new teeth or something like
that.
Yeah,
like, he'll go, some old guy will be, like, sitting out on a park bench by himself. He'll go up to him and be like, hey, you know, do you want a new vehicle? Do you want a new car? I'm gonna buy you a new car.
Okay.
And the guy's like, at first, like, what are you talking about? And then he gets in the car. They drive him down to the dealership. He signs the paperwork. He does it all on YouTube. Buys him a car. And the guy's like crying at the end of it. You know.
And then, I remember this.
And then he'll
have
people.
There's a whole big thing about this where they were like, is he the devil or is he like an angel? Because it's like, he's just like, okay, now this totally makes sense, because what is Squid Game? Squid Game is all about how you have a system that is totally screwed up, and then you basically throw a little crumb to people,
right?
And then you end up getting rich from it.
Right.
So you've seen, I mean, so I guess he's a mercenary.
Yeah, I mean, he exploits, like, people's, like, misfortune and uses his own good fortune to supplement.
Richer.
Yeah, because now he'll get all the views from that. Oh, what a cool guy. What a good guy.
Yeah, this is a perfect sort of allegory for modern capitalism anyway.
Yeah, because he's
like, we're going to innovate. We're going to solve everyone's problems. It's like, well, you just get richer and everyone else.
Yeah, because, like, he has that kind of escape where he can say, no, I'm helping people. I'm doing stuff to help people. I'm using my money. Yeah. But it's like he's using his money and all this stuff as a topic for the video that people are going to click on.
Yeah, so right? It's an investment.
Yes,
look at that.
Exactly. He'll make it back in the video he creates about what he's doing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm going to buy this guy a $200,000 Lambo. And then he makes
$500,000.
Yeah, I just made $1 million off the video for it. So it's like, who cares, right?
Well.
So he's figured it out. And he's one
kids
of those guys.
Kids these days, man. Well, how old is that guy? Anyway.
He's young, man. He's got to be, like, I would say 30. I don't know, somewhere around there.
Oh, man.
So have you had a snake venom at your local rave yet?
Yeah, I was hanging out with Elvis Yadav the other day, and we were drinking. So actually, it was after I did my, like, Jesus snake dancing.
Right, yeah.
You know, and then I got bit in the face and then died.
And he's like, no, that's good.
That's okay. Yeah, that's fine.
That's part of it. No, so Indian YouTuber Elvish Yadav has been accused of supplying snake venom to be used at a as a party drug. He has about 15 million. I never heard of this guy. He has about 50 million YouTube subscribers, and he's won an Indian version of Big Brother. Okay. So he's like a huge celebrity over there, right? And I guess he's denied the allegations. They recovered.
Wait, is that a snake around his neck?
Yeah, that's a snake around his neck.
Is he smoking his own supply?
I don't know. Probably, I would guess. It said police.
That babe there looks like she wants some.
They recovered
venom, please.
9 snakes, including cobras, from a party. In the past, snake venom has been used as a recreational substance in India. I didn't know that.
I thought it was like a neurotoxin that just like kills your nervous system.
Well, I guess
this
maybe
is
they.
Cool,
yeah,
man.
It's a party drug.
Wow, I didn't know that. I mean, shoot, I'm not surprised. I guess.
Wild, huh?
Yeah, look at that. No, what was Elvish?
Be careful, guys. Don't be doing snake venom.
Yeah, really.
Okay, so I wanted to. We're ending the episode here with an interesting one here. Have you heard of this guy, Brian Johnson?
He's in the Beach Boys, right?
No, not that Brian Johnson.
I haven't heard of this guy.
Millionaire biohacker, Brian Johnson.
Biohacker? What exactly is a biohacker?
Supposedly, he's hacking his own body's biochemistry, as he likes to put it.
Oh, okay.
Likes to do all this stuff to kind of extend his life. He says that he's doing stuff to where he can live past 100, and he's trying to prove it and document it on this YouTube channel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how old is he now?
I don't know. I should have. I have his Wikipedia, but you're going to really enjoy all this. It gets weird.
Okay. I was going to say, because he could just become a vampire.
Do you want to? Let's watch a little, like, some videos here.
Okay.
Because there's.
This looks good.
I have some stuff on his YouTube channel, as well as the company and the thing that we're going to talk about.
Okay.
So let's watch a little bit of this for everybody. Check this out. So here's a video of this conference that I was mentioning, right? This is a video of, like, a promotional video for this Live Long conference that he was a speaker at, all right? So
Okay. Check
this out.
Want to know the secrets to living to 100 and beyond while staying healthy, happy, and active? Don't miss the Live Long Summit, March 15th and 16th, Palm Beach Convention Center. Meet the world's top doctors, nutritionists, experts on human longevity. Join power learning sessions covering the latest science and what it really takes to extend your life, improve your health, and grow your happiness. Visit livelongsummit.com to register now. March 15th and 16th, Palm Beach Convention Center. Visit livelongsummit.com.
Okay, so on the surface, it just seems like any other, you know, like, oh, be healthy,
longevity,
whatever, you know,
yeah.
Like, you know,
I mean, you think about it. It's all a bunch of retirees there and stuff, right?
So here's a video from Brian Johnson, one of the speakers at that event, and why he's trying to be youthful. And the title of this video says, "Why I am spending millions to be 18 again." All right.
It's been also taken off label for longevity purposes.
This is him.
The people who I admired the most did things typically over a multi-decade time frame. People who, in their time and place, they survey the landscape of things that they can do, and they identify the thing that can barely be seen and say, I'm going to try to do that thing. Yeah, good. Here comes the scary pictures. I started Braintree when I was 27 years old. I bootstrapped the company for the first 4 years, and we were profitable every month. And then I raised money, and we sold it for $800 million, and then I made $300 million of that. At the age of 34, I thought it's time to try to do something meaningful on that kind of multi-decade timescale. My objective with Blueprint is to demonstrate aging escape velocity using the best science, trying to do all the appropriate interventions to neutralize my aging process. 1.8, so even better than last time. So I think my first one was 3.4. A few things have distinguished what I've done to date. As far as I know, I'm the only person that has publicly posted my data. So I'm not saying, here's my protocol and believe me. I'm saying, here's my protocol, here's all my data, and here's what I'm experimenting with next, and here's where I've made mistakes, and here's where I'm trying to fix it. It's really a stacked process of maybe 100 different things. I do, because you have to think about the body in its entirety.
118, is that right?
Mm-hmm. How the heart ages is different than how the lungs age, and how the lungs age is different than how the brain ages. You have to really think about it from a holistic perspective. So it's the common things like diet and exercise, but it's also a much broader consideration. So I have a team of doctors that I work with, and we just go through this rigorous process of measurement, gold standard science, implementation, measurement, is produced near perfect health for me. No matter how extreme I've had to be, no matter how eccentric people perceive me to be, because I'm outside the norms, demonstrating that age can be arrested would change everything.
All right, so just off of that, what do you think before we go any further?
Okay. So I can't help but look to the third video down on our screen right here that says,
I use my son's blood
yes, to reverse aging.
That was, he has a 17-year-old son and he did that. And
he uses his, well, I've heard that this is a thing.
The FDA has actually stepped in and said that that is not even, beneficial at all. So here's his Wikipedia page. Check it out.
Okay, born in 77.
Yeah.
So look at that.
Look at this.
Look
too.
At that. Look at this. That. Look at that. He was a missionary. Okay.
Spent 2 years in Ecuador.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me, actually. It makes a lot of sense. Because Mormonism is a perfectionist religion.
Okay.
It's like this idea that you, I mean, there is the whole thing with like the Lord's grace and all that kind of stuff.
This seems like very anti, like, oh, the Lord made me who I, why would I want to alter it with science and things
like
that?
Yeah, no,
right?
It's basically you do your best to be perfect, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
And that, this seems like, I don't know if he's still like doing his Mormon thing, but seems like a logical extension of that. And he's from Provo, and that's a society where folks are just, and there's no qualms about sort of body modification either. Like, there's a really high rate of women getting plastic surgery and stuff like that. Everyone's sort of expected to be in good health and all that. So, this makes some sense to me, actually. Seeing that, right? As
yep.
lived my own life and know kind of how that
and how
that
he
is.
Made his money, if you guys missed it on that, he purchased Venmo for $26 million, and then a year later he sold it to PayPal for $800 million.
Look at that.
So that's quite
so
a
he's
deal.
A guy who did something that really didn't take that much brain power that now thinks he can solve everything.
Well, yeah, and so he started this company Kernel, it says, and it's building hardware that measures electrical and hemodynamic signals produced by the brain. So these helmet-like devices that can see and record brain activity. So that was his second venture.
This just reminds me of something I was talking to my wife about yesterday.
Yeah.
She was saying, why is it that the people who seem to act like, and I don't know if this guy is like so into religion, but I'm just going to
say, I don't know. Who knows?
But why is it that the people who seem to have the most sort of like overtly and outwardly sort of expresses of their religiosity seem to also be the people who are the scaredest of dying?
Right.
Right. It's like all those super crazy sort of right-wing Christians, the guns, God, all that stuff, that are like, I've got to have my gun so that no one can kill me ever, kind of a thing.
Right.
It's just like, hey, if you're pretty sure you're going to go to heaven or whatever, why is it such a big deal?
Yeah. With him, anti-aging. Why would you want to live forever if your goal is ultimately to go to the kingdom of heaven or whatever?
Yeah.
Right?
That's interesting. I'm not trying to, talk crap necessarily.
Let's watch one more video here. And this is the one that kind of went
was
viral recently.
One of the most important and difficult decisions I've ever made. I fired myself.
Oh my gosh.
To be fair, Evening Brian had a very tough job deciding what, when, and how much to eat during his daily shift from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. when all the world's concerns were on his shoulders. 10 years of Evening Brian overeating led to gaining more than 50 pounds. This had devastating ripple effects on the other Brians.
the late night eating made quality sleep almost impossible for nighttime Brian. And the lack of sleep made morning Brian miserable and irritable. Evening Brian was making life miserable for all Brians. So I fired him. He no longer has the authority to decide what he's going to eat. No more late night binges, no more second servings, no more just this once rationalizations. Now, no matter what, only Blueprint Brian can decide when, what, and how much to eat based upon data from all 70 organs of my body. This is now the new routine. Breakfast at 7 a.m., lunch at 9, dinner at 11 a.m., fasting for 20 hours a day.
That is his routine and how he eats.
Okay, can I just stop for a second?
Yep. Though?
There's a lot of Brians there.
Yeah.
So
split personality,
so, yeah,
Brian.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say is like we're talking about physical health, but how about emotional and mental health? Is there a tracker on this one?
Yeah.
Because you can live to be 120 years old when you have your like brain in a jar. Like
preserved, yeah.
Right?
What do you think of this schedule,
know,
man?
Well, that's the other thing I was going to say is what kind of life?
Who can
like
do this kind of a life?
Freaking probes into you all. Like, what kind of life is that? Like,
and then fasting, not having any dinner. Like, imagine.
Do you know
trying
what's
to
funny about this?
Yes.
I just heard. You know, a study is always. You know, there's always a study, right? But I just heard a study that this. What do they call it? Intermittent fasting, basically. People who are doing intermittent fasting are like such and such percentage more likely to die of heart diseases,
right.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, really? Because, you know, I mean, they're eating less and they're like, you know, usually more fit and stuff like that. But apparently this has some effect on people's hearts.
Wouldn't doubt it. And that this just seems like a horrible schedule. Like you're eating breakfast at 7, lunch at 9, dinner at 11 a.m. So you eat
11 and you fast for 20 hours a
and
day.
And then you fast until the morning.
Well, I mean, shoot. Here, Mormon again, man. That's the thing you do every month. First Sunday of the month, you fast.
Right.
You don't eat for 24 hours. So this is like just
doing
know,
that throughout
it.
The week.
It's like doing this out throughout the week. You're kind of like doing an abbreviated version of that.
Yeah.
Kind of get ready for that. Shoot. Dang.
Pretty intense, right?
Yeah. So he unfucked his life that way.
Yeah, apparently by telling evening Brian that Blueprint Brian's
Blueprint,
the boss here.
Yeah, Blueprint
this is what
Brian
we're doing.
Is the boss.
The results have been spectacular.
Okay.
I have
gosh,
60
man.
Less pounds to carry around and record levels of health and wellness.
Well, that's good.
At a
that's
recent good. All Brian meeting, evening Brian complained that sometimes he's hungry, but really he's just relieved from being the source of so much self-destruction.
See, evening Brian says he's hungry, but really he's just relieved from being the source of so much self-destruction. So it's funny. It's like almost sounds like the way that like you have like Stockholm syndrome from your captor, like, yeah, I'm really starving. My captor's starving me, but he's doing it for my own benefit because I was being really bad. So I've stopped being bad now. So I see now.
And then sitting on the toilet, Brian pipes up and says, could you please eat more? My poops look like kitten shit.
Yeah, my poops are like rabbit poop.
Destruction. Nighttime Brian now reliably gets restored
toilet
to sleep,
Brian.
And morning Brian is always well rested and ready for the day.
Wait a second here, though.
This is
are they
my
all
autonomous
gray?
Self.
They are.
Is this blackface Brian?
Demoting my conscious mind and opting into a system of wellness that is managed by data and science. The collective of Brians has never been happier and never.
So there
oh
you go.
Oh my gosh, no. Then it's like Two-Face Brian.
Isn't that crazy? So that's
okay.
that's this guy,
wow.
Man.
That's
so
interesting.
Brian
but I mean,
Johnson.
Shoot, this is a, there's a, but that, this is just a sliver of the insane, like sort of tech bro.
Yeah.
Like the way that kids are learning things now on YouTube, it's like the extension of that into adulthood.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, you need to make yourself like do this, blah, 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 you know, and it's all about basically like. Optimizing all this kind of stuff,
yeah.
And not like realizing that there are other people in the world.
Yeah,
just fully self-centered.
This
like,
is like
about yourself all the time.
The guy from Batman, what's his name? Like Bruce Wayne. Like, yeah, somebody like him.
In a cave, you know?
Yeah, like, if you lived in a cave and you're the most powerful, popular person on Earth, you probably have to do something like this to, I don't know, keep your sanity or something.
Dude,
but
this guy needs to wash some dishes. I feel like he needs to wash some dishes.
Pick up some dog poop.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, wild stuff. I copied his Wikipedia.
That was very interesting.
Interesting, though, right?
That, yeah.
All right, guys, that's it
but
for
we
us this
you,
week.
Brian, all
we
of
love
the,
you, Brian.
All of the Brians.
He's a big fan of the show. Evening Brian. Yeah. And Toilet Brian.
Do you
Brian.
Think that if we made an advertisement helping him out,
that
like,
might be
do you
good.
Think we would get in trouble? Would he
I
come
don't
and,
know.
Which one of
I
the
would
Brians
be flattered.
Would sue us?
I would be flattered. Legal Brian.
Yeah, Legal Brian. No, that would be... Yeah, middle of the night, freaking out, Brian, right?
All
right,
guys, thanks for joining us this week. We'll see you next week. Have a good one. Peace. Bye-bye.